divine attributes. We come to know God by understanding his attributes. A divine attribute is a quality or characteristic of God revealed consistently. The key word there is consistently in Scripture and in his dealings with his creation. God's attributes are some sort of divine trademarks, exclusively his from all eternity. God is the exclusive origin and inexhaustible reservoir of all divine attributes. This means that acquisition of any divine attribute can only be by gracious impartation of the same by God to the creature. It means that nobody can really love if God does not put love in that person. Nobody can be holy if God does not make that person holy. Is that correct? Nobody can exercise justice without God. Are we together? Exercising justice through that person. Nobody can be patient without the God of patience. Nobody can have real peace. Nobody can, let me find this word, majesty, majestic. Nobody can be majestic if God has not allowed. Because we will see that majesty is one of God's attributes. He is a majestic God. The Bible calls him the God of all majesty. Problem is that people seek to abuse the meaning of some of these things. For example, love. As far as I'm concerned, love is the most misunderstood, most abused word in the universe. But when we understand that God is love, it's impossible for anybody to truly love without God imparting that love in them, true love. We are carriers of the power of God. We are carriers of the excellence of God. We are carriers of the majesty of God. We are carriers of the love of God. We are carriers of, you know, all his divine attributes are in us. The issue now is to live it out. Some people don't know. Number one, they don't know who God is. They are not aware of his divine attributes. So mentally they agree that God lives in them, but they don't know his attributes. And even if they know his attributes, they attribute his attributes to him without them, even though they believe he is in them. The third aspect is that even though they agree that these things are in them, they believe that it is God's responsibility to bring out those things. But it's not. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. What have we received? Or who have we received? And Christ is who? Christ is God. So all the divine attributes are in who? They are in Christ. So holiness, power, all these things, they are in him. And we have received him. Verse 7, or end of verse 6 now says, so walk in him. Don't just live in him, walk in him. Does this make sense? If you read Galatians 5, it says, if we live in the Spirit, that's the nature of our new birth, let us also walk in the Spirit. Every believer, every person who is born again, is alive in God. We live in the Spirit. But Paul says that's not good enough. You must also walk in the Spirit. It must be seen. You can't just only continue to say, Buona Sifiwe, I'm born again. I love the Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Thank God for that. You live in the Spirit. But now, let it be seen in your walk. All these divine attributes are present in the born again believer. It is now our responsibility to walk in him. We're rooted in that life, we're built up in him, and then we're established. How? By faith, as you have been taught. And then how are we supposed to, what is the measure of these divine attributes that should be seen in our lives? My version says, abounding in it, abounding in holiness, abounding in power, abounding in majesty. It's an attribute of God, isn't it? Abounding in love. You will see the same thing repeated in 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5. It says, therefore, add to your faith, so you are born again, virtue, to virtue, kindness, to kindness, self-control, self-control, perseverance. You know, he says, if these things are in you and abound in increasing measure, you will be fruitful in all things. So we have received God. We've received Christ. But he says, now abound, work it out. The love of God is, you and I have the kind of love that God has living in us. Is that correct? The love that God had for humanity that gave his only son, that kind of love is in us. But now we must live it out. We must walk it out. It's already in us. That's why I like that song. The same love that rescued the earth lives in me, lives in me. The love that rescued the earth, that gave his own life, that love lives in me. Same power that conquered the grave lives in me. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is already alive in me. It's not something I'm going to receive. It's already the moment you got born again, whew, God moved in with all of his attributes. The reality now is that it's my responsibility to explore the riches of Christ in me and then live it out. I think there's a general misunderstanding about the sovereignty of God. It looks as if the sovereignty of God is something that is imposed on us by force. We have no choice. Now, if that were true, then God would be robbing us of a very, very valuable thing that he has given to us, which is free choice. Okay, so the sovereignty of God does not mean that man does not have a choice. The sovereignty of God applies to his plans, his purposes, his agenda. But every man has the ability to choose to align himself with God or outside of God. Let me give an example. God said in the Bible that his counsel shall stand. Have you seen that scripture before? It says his will shall be done. His counsel, nothing can hinder, nothing can frustrate. Even when some things look delayed, and we have examples in the Bible, the counsel of God ultimately shall stand. When people make statements, sometimes it's out of their experience, not out of a revelation of God. You see, we all have different experiences. And if care is not taken, I form an opinion about the nature of God based on my experience rather than the revelation of his person. How is God revealed in Scripture? God is revealed as a healer. From Genesis to Revelation, he is revealed as a healer. One man came to Jesus, he says, if it is your will, if you can, heal my son. Jesus says, no, it's up to you. Do you believe? It's always his will to heal. If not, why would the Bible say that he took upon himself our afflictions? He bore our by his stripes we are healed. So is it that some stripes were left out? So that some healing will not... No. The atonement includes healing from every kind of disease, every kind of affliction, every kind of infirmity. All right? So we don't create God based on our experience. Now, so what happens most of the time is that we judge a situation because of the pain of our experience rather than seeking and living according to the revelation of God as he has revealed himself. Let's just accept that the revelation of God, as shown in Scripture, trumps every experience that anybody... Bible says, let all men be liars, but let God be true. Let's go by the revelation of God. Let's go very quickly. Power comes by tapping. Tapping by a firm connection to the Lord. This is how we imbibe and radiate his glorious attributes. We receive these attributes at the point of new birth, but to radiate them, we must have a strong connection to the Lord. Remember, it talks about when the scripture we read in Colossians 2 talks about being rooted. Do you remember? Rooted, built up, and then abounding fruitfully. That talks about a tree that has its roots deeply and firmly grounded. So we cannot radiate these divine attributes just because we want to. We must be firmly connected to the Lord. This is how we imbibe and radiate His glorious attributes, becoming more and more like Him. All these attributes. Note how these revelations of personal characteristics of God ought to affect anyone who truly desires to worship and serve Him. You cannot ignore God's unchangeable and innate qualities and hope to walk with Him. We cannot ignore the love of God, ignore the power of God, and so on and so forth, and hope to walk with Him. We cannot have a spurious image of a God. We cannot create an image of a God and lump to Him attributes that are not revealed about Him in Scripture. I just made a statement earlier. One of the easiest ways to drift into error and miss God is to ignore this book. Because if God didn't want us to know Him, He would not have given us a book. People who don't read their Bibles imagine a God. Is that not so? You know many of them. Yeah, I've met, I can't count how many, hundreds of people. As you engage them in discussion, they are describing a God that is so, I don't know. You are wondering, is it God they are really talking about like this? But they don't read the Bible. So they imagine God, they create an image of a God to themselves. And then they say, this is how God is like. The divine attributes can work for us or against us depending on our relationship to them. It is crucial to understand that God's faithfulness is first of all to Himself and His attributes. You see, if God is no longer faithful to who He is, then He is no longer your God. You have become God because now you are the one calling the shots. You determine what He does. Is that correct? In Timothy, it says, if we deny Him, it says He remains faithful. Why? If we become faithless, He remains faithful. Why? He cannot deny Himself. This is who He is. God will not change to accommodate your whining. Okay, things didn't go well. You woke up on the wrong side of the bed. The weather is gloomy today. And then God will change. He will stop being holy just to accommodate your sin. Or He will stop being, loving just because you want Him to punish somebody. You are calling down fire on some perceived enemy. No. God's faithfulness is first of all to Himself and His attributes. And God will guard His attributes, permit the word, with His life. Because that's who He is. He can't change. You are the Lord, You changeth not. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Ancient of Days. He has not changed. He is the Alpha and Omega. We are the ones who have to deal with Him as He is. Not as we imagine Him to be or as we want Him to be. Sometimes I feel that we human beings, we want God to be in a certain way. And that is highly manipulative. Number 5, God is eternally self-existent. This means He was not created and exists by Himself from all eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, His self-existence and complete self-sufficiency makes Him totally independent of His creation. God does not need anyone or need anything to be who He is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, meekness, faithfulness, and so on and so forth. They are divine attributes. So it says that against this, there is no law. There is no law because there is no law against God. So when I live in this life of bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which Spirit? The Spirit of God. United with my Spirit, enabling me to live in love, enabling me to live in joy, enabling me to live in peace, enabling me to live a life of self-control and all that, since there is no law. Because now, who will judge you? Who will bring condemnation your way when you are living according to Him? Are we together? But the carnally minded, the one who is not living, is not bearing the fruit, is not producing the fruit of the Spirit, stands to be judged. stands to be judged. So balancing that with Romans 8:1, where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who do what? Who are in Christ Jesus, full stop, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, who bear the fruit of the Spirit. There is no condemnation. There is no law. So these divine, those things that are listed as the fruit, the result, the product of walking in the Spirit, we are simply, that is how we manifest the divine attributes.